voice of the Wyoming Cowboys. Let's get back to First Bank of Wyoming Sports Friday with Duke Dance and Dal Erickson.
Sports Friday presented by First Bank of Wyoming. Don't get hooked. Be aware of the red flags that may help prevent you from falling for a scam. Find the details online at gofirstbank.com. That's First Bank of Wyoming, division of Glacier Bank. Local branches in Alpine, Afton, Kemmer, and Mountain View. Duke Dance with you live in studio and joining us live over the phone all the way from Italy, Milan, Italy, KSL Sports. Sam Farnsworth has been covering the 2026 Winter Olympics. And, you know, Sam, I'm really excited that you were there, but for anyone that follows your KSL Sports page on social media, people really want to know, how is Sam Beano enjoying his Winter Olympics this year? Tell us how he's doing it. And then for those that don't know, what is Sam Beano? I love it.
It's been a little bit of a rough go for him. He's minus two arms now. So my son, my youngest son, whose name is also Sammy, he got a 3D printer for Christmas, and he's been making all sorts of things since then. And shortly before I left to Italy, probably just like the day before, he made this little guy for me, and he's like, "Look, I made this for you," because I told him he needs to make me like a good luck charm to take with me to Italy. So he made this little guy for me. He gave it to me, and I said, "Oh, okay, so we can take pictures of him out there." He's like, "Yeah." So we had to come up with a name. We decided on Sam Beano, kind of to go along with both of our names as well. But yeah, so if you go to my Facebook page, my KSL Facebook page, you'll see a lot of pictures of Sam Beano at various events. Most recently, last night, the women's gold medal hockey game, as the women were coming through with their gold medals on their neck to get interviews. So pretty cool. But yeah, he's had a couple of accidents where now he's lost both of his arms. but he still has the smile on his face. So we're good.
Love it. Well, you're there for the experiences, right? And so is Sam Beano. Sam, one of the cool things, obviously the whole thing is cool. You're in Italy for the Olympics, but what a day yesterday for the United States, and you had a chance to speak to the U.S. women who won that gold medal over Canada in overtime. Kind of talk to us about that atmosphere and electricity there.
Absolutely amazing. I mean, this is a women's, this may be the best American hockey team, period, men's or women's, that's ever been assembled, and they were just downright dominant throughout the Olympics. They had outscored their opponents 31-1. Going into the gold medal match, they had a record streak of scoreless streak defensively, right? They something like 380 minutes or something like that consecutive without allowing a goal here at the Olympic Games. Just ridiculous. And they come into that game against Canada, a team that they had already beaten 5-0, and it was just such a heavyweight fight, just back and forth. And Canada got that early goal, and it looked like for a minute there that the U.S. was going to end this Olympics outscoring their opponents 31-2 and go home with a silver medal, right? That's how crazy it was. But then, you know, the spark was ignited. They got that late goal with less than 2 minutes to go. They pulled the goalie. They had six skaters on the ice and got that goal. And then in overtime, they got the job done. And, yeah, the atmosphere was absolutely electric. Early on, definitely the Canada fans were very loud. It felt like there may be more Canada fans than American fans, and that might have been the case. But by the time the United States scored that game tying goal, this place was just rocking, and it just carried into overtime where they won that gold medal. But definitely one of this might be the, at least to this point now, if you ask me, this is the signature moment for United States here at these Winter Olympics.
Well, and I'm not a hockey expert. I'm far, far, far from it. But even I could tell in that the overtime goal, that was special. Not just that it happened, yeah, but the way that it happened, the move that was made, the shot, and you could just, it was one of those goosebump moments, even just sitting here watching it on TV.
Yeah, if you go back, for anyone who goes back and watches that clip again, just go back far enough where right before the pass happens up the ice, and just the awareness that the girl who made the pass, her name's Taylor Heisey, and maybe she's not getting enough credit for what she did, but Canada had just made their line change, right? So they had two skaters going off and two new skaters coming on. And she recognized that they were making that switch. And if they can hurry and get the puck up the ice, they might have a chance to get a one-on-one opportunity. And she quickly zipped that pass up front to Keller. And then yeah, the phenomenal move that we saw her make out in front of the net to be able to put that puck in to win. But it's just from a hockey standpoint, just that's a phenomenal highlight. So yeah, you go back and you watch how they noticed that, how they took advantage of that change to quickly get themselves in a position to score. Just so well executed.
Sam, you had a chance to speak to the athletes directly after the match and kind of talk about some of their journey and things like that. What was the overall, I guess, you know, what's the overall thing you can take away from their journey to this to get this done? Because it's been a long time since the United States has been able to do something like this.
Yeah, you know, it's overall, almost from any event, when I talk to the athletes, whether they win or they come off having lost or coming up short of the podium even, just everyone, and sometimes it's hard to reflect in the moment right after you lose, right? Because there's still a lot of emotion involved. But even those athletes have mentioned to me just how special it is to be at the Olympics, because it's such a rare, accomplishment. And you know, it's rare for anyone to be able to participate in the Olympic Games, partly because it is just once every 4 years, but also partly because you have to be the best of the best to get here. And so, you know, when it comes to the hockey team last night winning their gold, I mean, for them, obviously there's a lot of euphoria and just on top of the world. And several of the girls that I spoke with after the game, you know, they talked about what it meant. The specific question that I was asking them was, you know, explain to us who have not, who just can't, who can never understand. You know, I can't, you guys can't, none of us can understand what it means to not only be in the Olympics, but to be up on the podium with your teammates arm in arm with a gold medal, hearing the national anthem being played, what that moment was like for them. And each one of them said this was the absolute best part of their Olympic experience was that moment, being there with the teammates that they fought with, to be at the top of the podium with that gold medal, to hear the national anthem playing, all of them singing together arm in arm. You know, those are the moments that they live for, that they work for to try to get to. And that's what they got to experience last night. And several other athletes that we cover have gotten those moments. And even, you know, even not gold medal winning moments. Like I'll go back last week, I was in a small Italian town called Lavigno up near the Alps. And Jalen Koff, who's originally from Wyoming, who does the moguls, she won a silver medal and she was on top of the world. Her family was just ecstatic too. You know, it's amazing how at the Olympics, you don't have to win gold to be considered a success story, right? You get on that podium and sometimes even not even winning a medal is a success story, but to get on that podium, to take a medal of any color home, just the euphoria, the emotion. It's all so fun to cover.
Speaking with Sam Farnsworth, KSL Sports this morning. He's joining us live from Milan, Italy, with the Winter Olympics continuing. Sam, sticking with hockey, the men's team for the USA still in the hunt and have a chance to win a gold medal as well. Tell us where things are looking and how they're sitting with the men's hockey team right now.
Yeah, so I'm at the arena right now. The puck will be dropping for the men here in about 3 hours from now against a very tough Slovakia team. Look, the United States, they're very good. This is one of the best teams they've ever had also. You know, you have to go back 12 years before the last time the NHL allowed their players to compete in the Olympics. So it's been since 2014. The two games after that, the 18 games and the 22 games, were the best non-Olympic, the best non-NHL players from each country in the Olympics. And the United States, this is the best compilation they maybe have ever had in men's hockey at the Olympic Games. And so they've got a tough match coming up this evening or afternoon for you guys. And it's not going to be easy, but I still feel like they're a favorite to win and advance to the gold medal game. The early game that starts here in about 20 minutes or 30 minutes is Canada and Finland. Both of those teams' rosters are completely NHL players. And so that's what you're looking at. You know, Slovakia's roster doesn't have, you know, maybe about half, a little less than half are NHL players. They're just a very good team. But you're looking at, if you're getting to the gold medal game, you're going to play against a team that is full of NHL players. And obviously Canada's team is absolutely loaded. So that's the point we're at in these Olympic games, where the very best of the best in the entire world are out on the ice in the sport of hockey. And the United States, I think they've got a great shot at getting to the gold medal game and competing for that, but it's definitely not going to be easy.
Sam, we have to touch on the idea that the backdrop and the history of Italy, where you're at with the Olympics, it's been a really cool merger of obviously the games and all the drama and the emotions that that brings. But along with that backdrop, it's had to have been a pretty special couple of weeks for you.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's an interesting, I did the Paris Olympics a year and a half ago during the summer as well. And for both, just covering the Olympics in general, it's such a unique opportunity that I definitely am grateful that I've been given these opportunities to cover these events and these amazing athletes. It's definitely once in a lifetime type experiences, but man, the work that's involved too. It's because I'm doing live reports for the Mountain Time Zone, which is the 10 p.m. news out there, 6 a.m. here. So there's a lot of working late into the night here with all the events that have just ended, and then having to wake up early and you kind of rinse and repeat. And I'm not trying to paint a sad picture here, because it's still amazing. It is tiring, but it is amazing to be here. And these games are super unique too, because this is the most spread out Olympic games in history, they say. Like, so it's called the Milan Cortina Olympics. I'm in Milan. Cortina is like 6 hours away. That's where a lot of the downhill skiing events are. Livigno, the town that I went to last week for 4 days, that's 4.5 hours away. So it's definitely spread out, but you get a little bit of everything. You get the city experience here in Milan with the ice events, the figure skating, the speed skating, the hockey. You get a little bit of the Alps experience with all the skiing events. So it's definitely a unique games and a very cool games.
Well, I think in 8 years now, when Salt Lake hosts the mm-hmm. Olympics, that drive up Park City isn't going to be so bad then, will it?
No, it's going to be way better. And that's one of the things that the International Olympic Committee loves about Utah when they come back, is just the proximity of everything. So close. I think the furthest you have to go is, you'll have some hockey games being played in Provo. I think you get some curling up in Ogden and maybe up Weber Canyon there towards what are those ski resorts up there? I can't think of a Powder Mountain or one of those up there. Park City's just right up the road from Salt Lake. So the proximity there, that's one of the reasons why the IOC loves Salt Lake City so much as a destination, but also because the venues, Utah's done such a great job at keeping them up over the years, ever since 2002, that they really don't have to build anything new. Everything's still pretty up to date. They keep it updated because they have world events, world competition events. It's going to make a lot of sense for the games to be back, and certainly going to be very exciting to cover it in our backyard again.
Sam, just one more quick thing. It's been interesting how many times the Salt Lake Games in 2002 have been referenced in all of the broadcasts mm-hmm. across all the different networks, and a lot of the athletes themselves, of the American athletes, they're of that age where they were inspired by the 2002 games. And so it's kind of cool that it's coming back to Salt Lake City. Mm-hmm. Have you had those types of conversations with the athletes as well?
Yeah, 100%. And some of them have been even unprovoked, right? So Hillary Knight, the captain of the women's hockey team, I talked to her, early on in after maybe their first game here in Milan. And I just asked her about Utah, because she lives in Utah in the off season now, and she's been helping with some youth hockey camps, with Mammoths. She does girls camps there in Salt Lake, and the game. And then she just on her own in 8 years. And it's not just her. There's several athletes that have mentioned that, and how they're like, man, if I can continue to compete at the highest level and make it so that they can compete in the games in Salt Lake in 8 years. There's a lot of athletes out here that are really hopeful that they can hang on that long and still be relevant to be able to compete in those games. So yeah, these, it was such a successful games, even though it was 24 years ago, it was such a successful games they still talk about it. The International Olympic Committee still talks and references those games so often because of how well run it was and how much success they had from a viewership standpoint.
Sam Farnsworth, KSL Sports, live from Milan, Italy, site of the 2026 Winter Games. Sam, thank you so much for your time. It's always a pleasure. It's been fun to talk to you from Italy today. And take care of Sambino. Let's see if we can get home with at least two of his four limbs.
Yeah, I don't want to lose any legs there, but keep following him. We'll have more posts from him coming up.
I love it. That's Sam Farnsworth, KSL Sports. It's all part of First Bank of Wyoming Sports Friday on the SVI Radio Network.